Please turn, if you would, to the book of Luke, the 19th chapter. Luke chapter 19. Going to think about a very familiar story. Some of you in your youth have sung songs about this story. We want to concern ourselves with the story of Zacchaeus. My text will actually be found in verse 9. We do want to read verse 1 down through verse 10. In verse 1 and verse 2, we find that Zacchaeus was a real man in a real place. It says in verse 1, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich." A rich man, yes, but often rejected among his own peers, among his own people, because he was a publican. Verse 3 and verse 4, he wanted to see Jesus, and he really went the extra mile to do so. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because of the crowd, because he was little stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. So he wanted to see Jesus, but more importantly, Jesus saw him. Verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him, and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." And so with joy, Zacchaeus received Jesus, verse 6, "and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." But of course, what would he expect? The onlookers, they find fault with Jesus, verse 7. "And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that this he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner." But in verse 8, we find that Zacchaeus demonstrated that he had, as we say in our society, made a 180. "And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold." So verse 9 and verse 10, we read that where Jesus expressed the change for life in Zacchaeus. "And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." So verse 10 tells us the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ. My text will be the beginning of verse 9. "This day is this salvation come to this house." As we look into this text this morning, I judge that you will understand that while Jesus spoke of the stone and mortar, the building called a house, that he really implied those who lived in that house. For we know that architectural structures do not need salvation from sin, but those who live there do. Rehab brought her family together in her apartment when the children of Israel entered into Jericho, and it was her family which was spared. Salvation came to her house. Cornelius received Peter one day and heard the preaching of the gospel and was saved. Salvation came to his house. The Philippian jailer heard the good news that if he should believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he would be saved. And so he and his household believed, and salvation came to his house. Our text speaks of Zacchaeus, whose life was changed by believing on the Savior. And Jesus said, "This day is salvation come to this house." Can you make such a statement? Has salvation ever come to your house? I would like for us to look at this phrase and consider a few things about the house of Zacchaeus. Keep in mind, I'm not talking about the building. I'm talking about his home. I'm speaking about the man himself. I am thinking about his family, if he had one. So let us consider today the house of Zacchaeus. That's the title that I offer in the message today, The House of Zacchaeus. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, we thank you for the privilege of being in your house. Thank you for these that are here. We pray for those that could not be with us due to sickness and providential hindrance, that you would bless them and meet those needs and heal the sick, raise them up, and those that are traveling, protect them. But we come together today to worship in spirit and in truth, and Lord, we ask that you would just speak to our hearts by your Spirit, meet every need. We pray for any that is in our midst today that is lost, that You would convict them of their sin, draw them to Jesus. We pray that they might be saved even today. And may we who are saved rejoice in the salvation that You've given to us, and help us to live for You and to love You, and forgive us where we fall short in our daily lives. May everything that's said and done be for Your glory today. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. I want to think about the house of Zacchaeus today, and the first thing I'd like to bring to your attention that this was a house in need. When we look in verse 10 and notice the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is in response to what He just brought to Zacchaeus, He says, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." And so that tells me that Zacchaeus, before Jesus came to him, was a lost man. Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. Like sheep wandering in the wilderness, they needed someone to go out and find them. And so Jesus seeks His own. And so here is one who is lost, one who is undone. I would remind you that by a profession, he was a publican. That means he was a tax collector. Are tax collectors your favorite friends? Do you like the IRS? Well, yeah, this tax collector and the tax collectors back then, these publicans were often guilty of extortion. I mean, they just wouldn't collect taxes. They always got a little extra on the side. And so they were a hated bunch by the society because they were thieves and they were crooks, extortioners. And so Zacchaeus just was not a very well-beloved man. We know he was a sinner. We know that he was a publican. As a matter of fact, the Scripture tells us, glance back at verse 7, that no one would deny that he was a sinner, because when Jesus said, "I'll come to your house," they criticized Jesus for that. He's gone to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. How many sinners do you know? You know a bunch of them, don't you? And Zacchaeus was a sinner, and I submit unto you, because he was a house in need. Basically, and I'm going to invite you to turn to Romans chapter 3 for a moment. Basically, if generally speaking, we could say that Zacchaeus was really up to no good. Why? Because he was a lost sinner. But Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through verse 12 reminds us of the sinner's conduct. It says in verse 10 of chapter 3 of the book of Romans, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understands. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one." Zacchaeus was a house in need. Specifically, we know that he transgressed the laws of God. Down in verse 23 of the same chapter in Romans, we know that it says, "And all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so, dear friend today, don't think that you're better than he was. Recognize that all have sinned. Now, this was a man whose house was in great need. And if you glance at chapter 3 and in verse 19 there in the book of Romans, we know that he was guilty before God. It says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it says to them that are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, that all the world may become guilty before God." There's no way under the sun that Zacchaeus could say, "I'm not a sinner," because he was a sinner. He transgressed the commands of God. And we know by his profession that he was very corrupt. And so this was a house in need. Here's a fellow that was a lost sinner. And so he had great spiritual needs. Everyone who still remains in their sin possesses great spiritual need. I would remind you that just as Zacchaeus was, you would face eternal judgment. Over in Romans chapter 6, if you're still in Romans, you can glance over there if you don't know the verse, but in verse 23, the first part of the verse, it says, "The wages of sin is death." Zacchaeus had great need. Why? Because he was lost, he was undone, and he was under the judgment of God. I would remind you of John chapter 3, and permit me to read this to you. John chapter 3, you thought I was going to read 16, but I'm not going to read verse 18. Because Zacchaeus, being a lost man, was under the judgment of God and under the condemnation of God. John 3:18 says, "He that believeth on Him is not condemned." That's good news, isn't it? "But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Zacchaeus was not saved. He was lost. He was undone. He was under the judgment of God, and he was under the condemnation of God. As a matter of fact, and I'm going to read a few verses out of 2 Corinthians in chapter 4, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I would remind you that those who are lost are spiritually blinded to the truth. So that means that if you're unsaved today, you're spiritually blind. Zacchaeus was spiritually blind. How do I know this? Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse 3. He says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Go, if you would, to the book of Ephesians. And so we recognize Zacchaeus, man, this is a house in need, isn't it? Very great need. Book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 1 through verse 3. What we find is that those who are spiritually dead toward God, but they're certainly alive toward their sin and their vice and their corruption. Paul, writing to the Ephesian church, he says this in verse 1 of chapter 2 of the book of Ephesians, "And you hath he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins." By the way, if you're saved today, you're no longer dead, you're alive. But if you're lost, you're still dead in trespasses and sins. Now notice the description in verse 2 and verse 3, what they used to be. "Wherein in time past," before they were quickened, before they were saved, "in time past, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," our lifestyle, "in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." You see that, my dear friend? So we go back to our passage and we're thinking about Zacchaeus. And the house of Zacchaeus, my first point, I trust, has been proven to you that this was a house in need. But secondly, I would submit that this was a house without hope. Here's a fellow lost and undone. He needs righteousness, but he had none, right? Because he was lost. He was still dead. And to our knowledge, Zacchaeus didn't have any religion either. If he was a pagan, well, those false gods couldn't help him out. If he did follow after Moses, if he did go to the synagogues, which was highly unlikely, but if he did, then he didn't have any faith to truly believe. And that reminds me of a passage over in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 2, where there's a reference of all the gospel that was preached to those of the Jews, but it says that it was not mixed with faith in them that heard it. If Zacchaeus did go to the synagogue and heard the prophets preached and read, there was no faith. Zacchaeus was lost. He was without hope. We know that he wasn't a Pharisee for sure, because the Pharisees are the ones condemning him here. And we don't believe that he would be a follower of John the Baptist or of Jesus. He hadn't followed after either one of those. So here's a fella who's lost and undone, but really he just doesn't have any hope, does he? The only one that can give him eternal life is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he doesn't know him. He hears about him. He wants to go see him, but he doesn't have a relationship with him. And so Zacchaeus was without hope because none of his religion, if he had any, would have helped. And he didn't know the truth. And if he tried self-righteousness, I'll try to live a good life and treat my neighbors right and so forth, which as a publican, he didn't do that. Zacchaeus just didn't have anything to offer God. I do want to remind you of a text before we move along, and that is in chapter 3 of the book of Romans. I want to read to you verse 20, where it says, "Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin." Now I think that's very important, because even if Zacchaeus tried to keep the commandments, it would not be good enough, because by the law it's the knowledge of sin. You cannot be justified by the law. You cannot. He could not. You cannot either, my friend. Titus is written to by Paul, and he says, "Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us." I'll tell you, my friend, the only way that you can be forgiven of your sin is to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And when we look at Zacchaeus and you look back into the text and we read about this man, we find that he was a house in need, but that also tells me that he was a house without hope. The third thing I bring to your attention is that this was a blessed house. How could this be a blessed house? You're there in Luke 19, I trust. Look in verse 1. This was a blessed house because of Jesus, who was his only hope, came to where he was. Verse 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. That's a good thing. Zacchaeus needed to meet Jesus. And if Jesus had never come through Jericho, he would have never met him. And so I submit that this house without hope ended up being a blessed house because Jesus came to where he was. Secondly, verse 5, the first part of the verse, Jesus not only came to where he was, but he also took notice of him. It says in verse 5 that when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. I wonder how many times when he walked through towns that he was up looking in trees. Well, I don't know if he was scoping out the area or not, but this time he was. And Zacchaeus, because he was a small man, the crowds were so great, he couldn't see Jesus. And he figured out how to do that. He ran ahead of where he was going and climbed up into the tree. And so when Jesus came by that day, he took notice of him. What a blessing it was for Zacchaeus that Jesus would take notice. Dear sinner, you need Jesus, and you need Jesus to take notice of you. Now, we've also read in verse 5, the last part of the verse, that Jesus chose to abide with him. Well, that's a blessed thing, isn't it? Verse 5, it says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. I mean, really, truly, was he just talking about, I'm going to make a short visit with you, and then I'm going to move along, and that's all it was a cordial, temporary moment of time with you? Or is there something spiritual going on? What do you think? Hey, I'm going to abide at thy house. And so this is a great blessing for Zacchaeus. So his house is indeed blessed. I also submit unto you that this is a blessed house because of in all of his need and all of his inability, Jesus was the one who could make the difference. And Jesus was near. Here's a guy that had great need. And who shows up? None other but the Lord Jesus Christ. What a blessing. But then if you look into verse 10 once again, the declaration of this verse tells us the mission of the Lord Jesus Christ, that he come to seek and to save that which is lost. Who was lost in our text? Zacchaeus. And so he was a house in need, and he was a house without hope, but he was a blessed house. Why? Because Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. He's a blessed house because salvation is made available to him. I like Romans chapter 5 and in verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Dear sinner friend, today I want you to recognize that you are a house in need and that you're a house without hope as long as you stay away from Jesus Christ. But you can be a blessed house today if you'll turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you'll submit unto him. Romans 10:13 says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Here's a lost man whose life was made different. As a matter of fact, that leads me to my next point, and that he is not only, this is a blessed house now, but this was a changed house. When I read in these verses about Zacchaeus, that salvation that Jesus brought to Zacchaeus was brought by him, wasn't it? There was no other way. This day is salvation come. Jesus says, I bring it to you. Life is extended to you. You were dead. Yes. You were lost. Yes. You were under condemnation. Absolutely. But I have come to give you life. We read in Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 1 down through verse 3. Let me read to you verse 4 and verse 5. But God, who is rich in his mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us or made us alive together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Here's a guy that was lost. Now he is saved. A change has come over him. And this change was not anything that he could do. I'm going to make a quick reference back to Romans chapter 3 again. And you're welcome to turn there if you'd like, but you see, he's a guy that needed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And the only way he could get that is through Jesus Christ. And so Jesus comes and says, to this house is salvation comes. And so there's a great change that takes place. But this change has occurred because the righteousness of Christ has been credited to Zacchaeus' account. He was lost. He couldn't produce his own righteousness. I read Romans chapter 3. Listen to verse 21. We had read verse 20, but verse 21 says, but now the righteousness of God, without the law is manifested by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation or a covering for through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Why was his life changed? Because Jesus Christ imparted to Zacchaeus the righteousness which Zacchaeus needed. I've been saved by the grace of God. He gave me life way back in 1974. Do you know why I was saved? It wasn't because I lived a good life. It wasn't because I became religious. It wasn't because I treated my neighbor right or did the best that I could. But way back in 1974, God changed my life because He imparted His righteousness to me. He brought me from death unto life. And He changed me forever. Genuine salvation, my friend, changes a person. Away with this concept that we see so much in our modern Christianity of, well, I've walked an aisle, I've prayed a prayer, I've been saved, but there is absolutely no change in the heart of an individual. How can that be? Even when you think about Zacchaeus here, was there evidence of a change? When he became a blessed house, when salvation came to him and he became a changed house, was there a difference? Yes, look at verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto him, Lord, behold, I give half of my goods to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. That guy doesn't do that unless he's saved, I'll tell you. He was an extortioner, he was a thief. And he says, you know, if I've taken anybody, and I guarantee you he had a list of people he took stuff from, I will give that back to them. And in fact, I'll give them extra. I'll pay them interest. I'll pay them fourfold. Is there a difference in the life of a person when life comes? Yes, there is. Will there be a change of heart? I'm not saying we'll be perfect, but will there be a change? Yes. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 17, he said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. All things are become new. Did Zacchaeus know Jesus? Was he saved? Was there a change in his life? I submit that Zacchaeus was a blessed house, and of course, then he was a changed house. The last thing I submit is that he was a satisfied house. What do I mean by that? I mean by that the fact that there was nothing else that was required. He needed the righteousness of Jesus Christ, and he received the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Nothing else was necessary. I know that goes against the grain of even some professing Christian denominations in our society today. They'll say, yes, you must be saved, and yes, you must believe on Jesus Christ. But then after that, you have to do this, and you have to do that, and you have to do this. And then you can hang on and cling on, and maybe you'll make it to the end. No, sir. No, sir. Zacchaeus' house was a satisfied house. He needed Jesus, and he got Jesus, and that's all that he needed. There was nothing more. No one else could help him. Wasn't it Jesus who said in John chapter 14 and verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. Absolutely. Jesus alone is the Savior. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'll tell you, dear sinner friend, today, you're a house in need. You're a house without hope. And the only one that can help you is Jesus Christ. Only Jesus can take that house without hope and make it a blessed house and make it a changed house. Jesus is all you need. Look into our text. What did Zacchaeus desire? He desired to see Jesus. Verse 5 says, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him. Zacchaeus, you make haste and come down, for today I must abide in thy house. How tremendous is that? Verse 9, Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. I submit unto you that after Jesus saved him, that was a satisfied house. Nothing to add on. Just be found faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ and be obedient to His commands. No work, no, just be as God would have you to be as a Christian. A satisfied house. I've offered you several aspects of the house of Zacchaeus today, and we see how it went from the very negative to the extremely positive. What an encouragement that is. I asked you at the beginning, what type of house do you have? Do you have a house that knows Jesus? Let me offer you a few things in consideration here as I finish. Number one, when we look into our passage here in Luke chapter 19 and verse 9, the first part of that verse and that phrase, Jesus said, this day of salvation come to this house. Not all houses receive salvation, do they? Does every house you know receive salvation? Does everyone you know, are they saved? Are you saved today? Has salvation come to your house? And he tells Zacchaeus, salvation has come to this house. But I want you to notice, secondly, that even this house had lost a good amount of precious time. Why do I say that? Because in the text it says, this day is salvation come. This day. Not before. I was saved when I was 15 years old. I lost 15 years of my life to the world. Some of you were saved younger. Some of you were saved older. Some of you still remain lost today. Do you recognize as an unsaved person, you're still dead in trespasses and sins? You're under the condemnation of God. There's just nothing you can do for the Lord. You say, but yeah, I've been saved though. And maybe my dad was saved when he was 45. But you recognize that he squandered 45 years of his life? But after he was saved, he served the Lord. I don't know Zacchaeus' age here. No doubt he's middle age up. 30, 40. This day. All that would have been sooner. This day. But now it has come, and so I thank the Lord for that. So no matter what your age today, if you're still lost, you do need the Savior. And make today the day that you repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then your life can be used for Him. But that being said, that this is this day that salvation has come to this house, it is absolutely possible that salvation will pass by your house. And isn't that a dreadful thought? To know that you may die lost and undone. That your children may die lost and headed to a devil's hell. Your parents, your siblings, cousins, aunts, uncles. Maybe salvation won't come to your house. We pray that it does. It did for him, finally. But it doesn't come to everyone's house, does it? How sad is that? But that negative being expressed, I certainly want to emphasize the positive. It is possible for the Savior to enter your house. I'm so glad that He will. Has He entered your house? Are you saved? Has He changed your life? Has He made a difference in you? Has Jesus come to your house? And if He hasn't come to all your house, then you just keep right on praying for those brothers and sisters, moms and dads, and sons and daughters. You keep praying that God would come to their house. God would save them. Do not give up. But you that are here today, if you would recognize in your heart that you're still lost, I know that's our terminology, that your house is without God, look into our text, and I close. I submit unto you, if you're without Christ, you need to have an interest in Jesus. Verse 1, Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was chief among the publicans, and he was rich, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. See, he had a desire. May you have a desire today. May you seek out Christ, like Zacchaeus, verse 4, and he ran before and climbed into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. My friend, go out of your way if you need to find Jesus Christ. But you need to seek Him. Why? Because you need the Savior to enter your house. So in verse 5, once again, Jesus came to the place where He looked up and He saw Him and He said unto Him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And my friend, if Christ should come to you today, then you need to respond like Zacchaeus and you need to receive Him joyfully. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Perhaps today, dear sinner, perhaps today will be the day that salvation will come to your house. Dear believer, aren't you glad that you're already saved? Aren't you glad for the salvation that has come to you? Rejoice in that. Serve Him, be found true, be found faithful. Pray for those who are yet in need. Pray for those who need Jesus to come to their house and make that difference in them. Let's stand. Right where you are today, dear sinner friend, if God convicts you, God draws you, I pray that you'd repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And I pray that salvation would come to your house this day. Father, we commit this time to you. We love you. We honor you. We praise you. We ask you to speak to every heart, encouraging the Christian, but certainly those that are lost. Lord, if you'd be pleased to open up their hearts, grant the light to shine out of that darkness. Give them life. Grant repentance and faith that they'd be saved even today. Bring salvation to their houses. We ask it in Jesus' name. And amen. Song is number 334. 334.